there is some good news from that University of Washington model that a lot of people are following in this country. I know everybody will debate and say, well, I have this model, but the most common thread of any projection model that has been spot on for the most part has been the University of Washington model. Their latest update from a couple of hours ago, they have downgraded the forecast for total deaths in America from COVID-19 to a little over 60,000. Now, remember, 10 days ago, we were hearing 100 to 240,000, right? Great news. It's all projections. State of Michigan, it has gone from close to projected 4,000 people dying to now a little over 2,100 in the peak, the highest number of fatalities connected to the coronavirus is set to hit tomorrow. Now, the new numbers released from Lansing in the state of Michigan, 114 people died from coronavirus in the latest report. That's another 1,376 cases confirmed today, but that's down from yesterday. And the death total, one is too many. I worry we've all gotten to this rankings and numbers. And we're like, oh, it's only 60,000. Only 60,000. I mean, that is all of Ford Field nationally who will die from this. It's still serious. And the peak means it's not time for everybody to go out. Because I will tell you, coming to work as an essential worker and we get 65 degrees, downtown is packed. It's not over, folks. And I've never professed it's over. And when I've pointed through these models to a projected peak date, the reason I do get excited, and it's based on me talking to medical professionals I know, led by Dr. K from Metro Health, that once we hit the peak, there has been a rapid descent in other countries. And that's what we're looking for. It's not over. It isn't. They forecast in that University of Washington model that nationally people will die until the end of May, early June in the country. Michigan, our last death would be in the next 3 weeks. So once it hits a peak, there's still going to be fatalities. But your goal is new cases drop. The number of people dying drop. That's what we're looking at. And I'm not getting giddy about, well, it's only a little over 60,000. But when I heard 240,000 as the high end, I'll take that, man. In the state of Michigan, if we're only going to lose, and I say only, and I have to watch this, folks, out of respect to the families who have dealt with this and are dealing with this and who have lost a loved one in the state of Michigan. Only is not the right word. That we're going to save, this projection says we're going to save 2,000 lives. It's still serious. The governor, according to what I'm reading from the local NBC affiliate, Wood TV 8, is planning to make an announcement tomorrow to extend Michigan's stay home, stay safe order. So the original stay at home order took effect March 24th. Set to expire on Monday, April 13th at 11:59 p.m. Michiganders were told to stay home unless their jobs are deemed essential or if they need to venture out for life-sustaining reasons to help flatten the virus and the curve. Now, the legislature yesterday gave her an additional 23 days, I think, of power for this new order. That would put it right towards that April 30th social distancing deadline. And there seems to be a consensus that if curves flatten and the numbers are dropping, that we have to get the economy up and running beginning in May. And that's all based on best case scenarios. Governor Whitmer and her team, they maintain that the peak isn't coming until late April or early May. There are models that say it won't be until mid-May. That's the unknown that we do not know at this time. And I have lived on air at Huge Show on Twitter, The Huge Show on Facebook. I have lived by the best case scenario to keep my sanity, to have hope for Michigan, America, and the entire world. I've listened to Dr. K from Metro Health. Dr. Birx, Dr. Fauci, will I disagree? They even disagree. Do I think it's imperative that the poor people in America, not only during this coronavirus, but that they have med centers and accessibility to live healthy lives? Poor has no color. I know our attorney general in Michigan got fired up on Twitter last night. And again, I don't know why she said this, but she talked about the African Americans in the high percentage of fatalities connected to coronavirus, and also people complaining to the attorney general's office about golf courses should be open. And she said, quote, white folks, don't bother me. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but basically, white folks is the quote, but don't bother me about golf. We all understand golf isn't the most important thing right now. But white folks, you're an attorney general, I guarantee you're in it deeper than most of us with laws, with interpretations. But man, just come out and say, I didn't mean to say that I want to focus on, you know, and it's not saying that all African Americans are poor. You have to watch your words here, because Twitter with 140 characters or a talk show or TV, no, poor has no color. I grew up in the hood in Burton Heights here on the west side of the state. Poor has no color. Poor has no preference of color, might be the better word. And to me, no matter what the color of your skin is, you should have access right now in a pandemic. Don't set up a field hospital in Novi at Suburban Collection Showplace. Set it up in the heart of Detroit. Set it up in the heart of the epicenter of the fastest rising numbers in Michigan. Set that field hospital up on that football field at a PSL school. This isn't about race. The only reason race is getting thrown into this is because it's a presidential election year. And the virus politics here are shameful, disgusting, and sad at the local, statewide, and national level. And I don't take partisan sides. I'm with the Do What's Right party. And those who don't have the means to have quality medical care, the elderly, you know, everybody doesn't have a family that can pay for assisted living or put them in a home or let them live at their house and be taken care of. Those are the people, the elderly. It's obvious by the median age and the average age of people dying in Michigan is over 70. That your income level should not dictate your health or how long you live. And I stand by that for people of all races, all Americans, every single corner of this country. Because I've been there when you're dirt poor and you're on food stamps and Medicaid. And as you became a teenager, it was embarrassing. So it's not a black-white issue in Michigan or America. It's an issue of helping people who deserve it. Those doctors and nurses and frontliners should be going door to door in the toughest areas in this country, the poorest communities, rural or inner city, you name it. They should be knocking door to door, making sure they're okay. And I get we have limited personnel. But please, Dana Nessel, every politician in Michigan and America on both sides of the aisle, please stop the insanity of the virus politics. I understand. It's the most divided presidential election year we'll ever see. Our country's been divided for well over 4 years. We have got to stay united to help this. We have to. We do. And we have to help the single mother, the single father, the elderly grandmother living in a home who, you know, doesn't have money to get in her car and drive down to the med center or the clinic and check in. We need more clinics in the inner city. We need more medical dental for the poor people, whether it's rural or inner city. And it's not just based on, well, everyone's saying, are you saying everybody's inner city poor? No. Poverty plays no favorites based on the color of your skin, your religion, nothing. Where you live, doesn't matter. That's where I stand. And Bill Hobson, Michigan Golf Live, will join us later about the Attorney General's comments. And I know I've begun every show lately with a coronavirus opinion. And you don't have to. It's an opinion. And I'll drop facts from the latest coronavirus numbers. But we have got to come together locally, statewide, and nationally. And hopefully when this subsides, that we understand how important it is to work together. I mean that, man. I do. Because I don't know. I go by facts. When I hear politicians talking, I don't know what to believe. Even some of the doctors, all right, well, wait a minute, you're on this network, you're on this network. I don't know what to believe. And I'll go with what Dr. Ed Cornelia from Metro Health said the first day in studio over 3 weeks ago. We need more medical data and follow the medical data in this pandemic journey. That's what he told us. He told us that. And I'm living by that. Because we're looking at schools out. We're looking at businesses that may not ever reopen again. You're hearing companies now are using this as a reason just to say, we're getting out. Health and safety of all Americans, all skin colors, all religions, number one. Second, get our economy up and running. Third, try and figure out how kids are going to have a five-month summer vacation. School's out, no spring sports, youth sports in limbo. Pro sports, minor league sports, they're down the pecking order, even golf. I don't get, though, I will say this with golf. If you could buy online, there's no interaction at the pro shop or club shop, that carts would be set up. Everybody would need their own cart or own walking cart. You maintain 6 feet distance. You can't all ride together to the golf course. You have to drive separately. And a foursome or twosome could not golf. Most of us can't stand to be around the person we're golfing with anyways. If you can jog, I come downtown. There's a pack of kids on bikes. But a foursome can't go to a golf course. And people say, oh, you're insensitive to the needs of America at Michigan. No, I'm not. I got the damn Breakfast Club on bikes right now in front of me.